శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. సదాశివసమారంభాం శంకరాచార్యమ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్య పర్యంతం వందే గురు పరంపరాం సద్గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. బ్రహ్మసూత్రాస్ చాప్టర్ 3 పాద 4 పురుషార్థాధికరణం. పురుషార్థః అతః శబ్దాదితి బాధరాయణః శేషత్వాత్ పురుషార్థవాదః యథా అన్యేషు ఇతి జైమినిః ఆచారదర్శనాత్ తశ్రుతేః సమన్వారంభణాత్ తద్వతో విధానాత్ నియమాచ్చ అధిక ఉపదేశాత్తు బాధరాయణస్య ఏవం తద్దర్శనాత్ తుల్యం తు దర్శనం అసార్వత్రికీ విభాగః శతవత్ అధ్యయనమాత్రవతః స్తుతయే అనుమతిర్వా కామకారేణ చ ఏకే ఉపమర్దం చ ఊర్ధ్వరేతః సుచ శబ్దేహి. పరామర్శాధికరణం. పరామర్శం జైమినిః అచోదనా చ అపవదతిః అనుష్ఠేయం బాధరాయణః సామ్యశ్రుతేః విధిర్వాధారణవత్. స్తుతిమాత్రాధికరణం. స్తుతిమాత్రం ఉపాదానాదితి చేత్ న అపూర్వత్వాత్ భావశబ్దాచ్చ. పరిప్లవాధికరణం. పరిప్లవార్థా ఇతి చేత్ న విశేషితత్వాత్. వి సా అప్ టు దిస్ సూత్ర ఇన్ ది లాస్ట్ క్లాస్. పరిప్లవాధికరణం సూత్ర 23. The discussion commenced in Sutra 23 is concluded in the next Sutra. In this Adhikaran, there are two Sutras. The discussion commenced in the previous Sutra is concluded in the next Sutra 24. We will read. Tatha cha eka vakyata upabandhat. Sutra 24, 4th Pada, 3rd Chapter, 449th Running Brahma Sutra. Now let us first give a general analysis of this Sutra. In the previous sutra, we established Upanishadic stories cannot be connected to Ashwamedha ritual. Now, if Upanishadic stories are not to be meant for in the Ashwamedha ritual, particularly in Karmakanda, then what is the purpose of the story? Because it does not give any direct benefit to Purusharta. They are Arthavada. So how do you utilize the Brahma Vidya? Because Brahma Vidya is, the entire Upanishad talks about Brahma Vidya. So how are you going to make use of it? The Upanishadic stories contained in them. It is part of Brahma Vidya teaching itself, the stories. Either the story talks about the qualification of the student indirectly, or talk about the teacher indirectly, or it talks about the glory of Brahma Vidya itself indirectly. The story is contained in the Upanishad. For example, if you take the story of Nachiketas, here Nachiketas is offered by Yamadharmaraja with both the Ihaloka Sukham and also Paraloka Sukham. Worldly pleasures as also the heavenly pleasures was offered by Yamadharmaraja. All of this he refuses and he wants only Atma Jnana. This is a story, but directly it says, the state of mind of the Vedantic student must be like that of Nachiketas. Then in another place also in Kathopanishad, it is said, many people do not come to Vedanta classes at all. And even if they come, they don't understand it at all. And even if they go to many gurus, they don't choose to come to me as guru. Who says? Yamadharmaraja says. Nobody wants to come to him, taking him as his guru. Brahma Vidya is very rarest thing. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna's mind is described. This also gives a view what study I should take and what type of teacher I should choose for pursuing this study. Never go to a teacher who separates Shastra from teaching. That's what we have been always telling. A teacher should teach only what is contained in the Shastras. Guru reminds that what he teaches is in consonance with the Shastras. It is not different from Shastras. he should teach Vedic contents only. These are mentioned indirectly in stories in the Upanishads. They are Vidyangam only and not Karmangam. Part of karma, but they are part of Vidya, Atma Vidya. Now let us see the word analysis of this sutra. Tatacha eka vakyata upabandhat. Tatacha means here consequently we can take it. So eka vakyata upabandhat. Since the Upanishadic story, they have connection with Upanishadic, the knowledge, as one main teaching, the Upanishadic stories are not karmanga. They are not part of the karma, they are part of knowledge, vidya. They are not part of rituals. That is what the sutra says. Now let us look at the significance of the words. Tatacha means consequently to the conclusion of the previous sutra that we completed in the last class. The Upanishadic stories are not part of rituals. Then eka vakyata upabandhat, one main teaching or one main sentence, eka vakyata. So in, for example, if in election speeches, all the politicians, what they do? They talk many sentences. They talk so much, they talk. But the sole purpose of the speech is what? Vote for me, that is all. This is eka vakyata. That is all the only content of the entire speech for so many hours or whatever it is. Do not take all the sentences literally. Similarly, in the entire Upanishad, there is one sentence, and what is that sentence? Tat tvam asi. All the stories ultimately ends only with this one sentence. Sannyasa is prescribed as nididhyasana angam in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Yajnavalkya story was seen there in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And upabandhaka means connection. Connection between the Upanishadic story and the Upanishadic teaching. The connection is eka vakyata connection. There is only one message. Tattvamasi, aham brahmasmi, that kind of one message. Hence, they are not karmangam. With this, the 24th sutra and the 4th adhikaranam is swava. This only reinforces what was said in the previous sutra. So now we have completed 24th sutra of the, and the 4th adhikaranam of the 4th pada of chapter 3 of Brahma Sutra. And it talks of various disciplines to acquire Brahma Jnana. When we say Brahma Vidya is Nirguna Vidya, it is classified into two types, and one is direct means and the other is indirect means of gaining this Vidya. Direct means will be pointed out as Vedanta Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam, and the knowledge has to be generated by operation of the appropriate means. The means is Vedanta and the operation is Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam. And there are so many other things which are also useful indirectly, like for example, Karma Yoga for purification of mind, Chitta Shuddhi, Ashtanga Yoga for keeping the body fit. So even physical health is required indirectly. Even food indirectly contributes, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Ahara Niyama. Bhagavad Gita talks about it in detail. So this indirect means is called Parampara Sadhana or Bahiranga Sadhana. Therefore, the theme of fourth pada is Nirguna Brahma Vidya Antaranga Vidya Bahiranga Sadhanas. Antaranga Sadhanas or Bahiranga Sadhanas. So Nirguna Brahma Vidya is the subject. So it does not require any karma anushtanam at all. We need kevala jnanam only, no need for any karma. This is important. In Karma Kanda, mere knowledge will not give any benefit. This we have told many times. If I want to go to, for example, Swargaloka, I should know about the Jyotishtoma Yaga, and then I should do the Yaga to go to Swargaloka. However much I know the know-how of doing so Jyotishtoma Yoga, it will not give me Swarga Phalam. I have to perform the Yaga. Yaga Jnanam and Anushtanam will give benefit then only. In Jnana Kanda, no need for Brahma Jnanam to be followed by Brahma Anushtanam. There is no anushtanam at all in Jnana Kanda. There is no anushtanam involved, and mere understanding can give liberation, mere knowledge. Jnanam is able to independently give the result. In Karma Kanda, the knowledge should be followed by karma anushtanam. It is not independent. I may know all about asanas, but I don't do it. I can't get any benefit at all. knowing depends upon doing to produce results in Karmakanda. In Jnanakanda, knowing does not depend upon doing. The principle Vyasacharya wants to establish is what? With regard to Saguna Vidya and Nirguna Vidya. What do we mean by Saguna Brahma Vidya? That means Upasana. It is Ishwara Upasana that exists independent of ritual. It need not always go with rituals. Some go with rituals and there are many, they exist independently. And later, Nirguna Brahma Vidya also is independent. And this is the essence of this Adhikaranam. And in the first Adhikaranam, Vyasacharya gave the Pratignya, the proposition that Kevala Vidya is independent or not independent. And the next three Adhikaranams he established by answering the objections from Purva Mimamsakas. And they objected that both should go with karma only. The objections were negated in the following Adhikaranam. Karma must be there all the time. That was first negated. In Grahastashrama, karma cannot be given up. We saw all these things in detail. He said, Sannyasashrama exists and karma rahita saguna brahma vidya and karma rahita nirguna brahma vidya also possible in sannyasa. In the third Adhikaranam, Purva Mimamsaka talked of Udgita Upasana. And they said it is part of Karmakanda. I'm actually just only summarizing whatever was discussed so far, just to fresh up. And they said Chandogya Upanishad might be part of Karmakanda. Also, we got all the five chapters, first five chapters, they all talk about Upasanas and all that. All Saguna Brahma Vidya in Chandogya Upanishad must go with Karmakanda because Omkara is Karmangam. Udgita Upasana is Karmangam, part of Karma. And that also Vyasa and Shankara successfully refuted by saying that in Chandogya Upanishad, no ritual is mentioned. So it is not part of Karmakanda at all. And in the fourth Adhikaranam, the Purva Mimamsakas, they attempted the Pariplava method of hearing story, Upanishadic stories. That's the method they studied. As we mentioned, we explained what Pariplava and all yesterday. So stories are supposed to be part of Karmakanda. All Upanishadic stories are Pariplavam and will be part of Karma. And the entire Upanishad has to be used as part of Karmakanda according to them. So Upanishadic stories are supposed to be Pariplavam. That means they are part of Karma. That means the entire Upanishad has to be as part of Karmakanda. He doesn't want any Jnanakanda at all. And Vyasacharya and Shankaracharya successfully refuted that also. Even though they are meant as Pariplavam, they are not all the stories. Thus, both Saguna Vidya and Nirguna Vidya can stand independently. That is the assertion. Now we will enter the Nigamana and conclude Vidya Swatantriyam, the independence of Brahma Vidya Vidya topic. Proposition and conclusion should be the same. That is what is always we say. Whatever you started with, you should also end with the conclusion. Now let us enter the next Adhikaranam and the next Sutra, Sutra 25. Agnindhanadhi Adhikaranam, Agnindhanadhi Adhikaranam it is. It is only one Sutra, Sutra 25. Atha evacha Agnindhanadhi Anapeksha. 25th Sutra, 4th Pada, 3rd Chapter, 450th Running Brahma Sutra. Atha evacha Agnindhanadhi Anapeksha is the Sutra. The sutra says, the seeker of Brahman may dispense with agnikaryam, sacrificial fire. He doesn't have to do any yajna at all. Yajna is karma. That means he can do away with karma. Who? The seeker of Brahman, Brahma Vidya. Now, let us see the general introduction to this Adhikarana with only one sutra. Here it says, mere understanding will liberate. Brahmavit apnoti param. Mere understanding will liberate. And mere cognitive transformation is required. It is unbelievable, but it is true. This is going to be said in this Adhikarana. Since mere knowledge can liberate, and knowledge does not require any support or any anushtanam, you may do anushtanam for other purposes. But for knowledge, one doesn't have to do any anushtanam. It is not for moksha purpose. I want freedom from few extra kilos of weight, perhaps. For that, I have to do certain things. for freedom, here no anushtana is required. Ashramatraya anushtanam is not required. What are the ashramatraya? Brahmacharya ashrama, grihastha ashrama, and vanaprastha ashrama. All the three ashramas, whatever anushtanams are there in them, is not required for jnanam to produce moksha. Grihastha ashrama and vanaprastha ashrama, karma anushtanam is not required even there. All types of anushtanas are not required. Jnanam will do the job independently. The flame does not require the oil for removing the darkness. We have to be very careful in how we are wording it. Flame does not require the oil for removing the darkness. It requires oil for continued existence. But removal of darkness, oil is not required, and oil cannot remove darkness also. Oil is not effulgent to remove the darkness. It is not direct cause to remove the darkness. Similarly, jnanam does not require anything to remove a jnanam. A person can take sannyasa if he wants, because in it, no other ashrama karmas are there. Sannyasa is possible. That is the second corollary also. And there's a third corollary also is there. In sannyasa ashrama, one need not perform any karma. In sannyasa ashrama, no need to perform any karma. Jnanam is swatantra, and therefore karma samuchaya is not required. I am only restating whatever we have stated earlier. Now I will give you the general analysis of this sutra. And in this sutra, Vyasacharya says there is absolutely no dependence on karma. For what? For gaining moksha. Here karma indicates all ashrama karmas. They are not required for jnanam to produce the phalam, which is moksha. The karma includes laukika karma and vaidika karma both. The vaidika karma, that includes also the kayika karma, vachika karmas, all that. So no parayanam is required for getting moksha. None of them is compulsory. The reason is jnanasya swatantriyat. Because jnanam is swatantra. It is independent. Jnanam is independently capable of producing moksha. We should not need another. And actually here, before I go to that, there is a side point also is there. Let me mention that also. It is fundamental, and therefore acharyas do not discuss this point in their bhashyas. Kevalam jnanam that produces liberation because samsara is caused by mere ignorance only. Kevala jnanam produces liberation because what? Samsara is caused by mere ignorance. Therefore, mere knowledge is sufficient. No karma is needed. Actually, this is the essence of what? Adhyasa Bhashya, which we dealt with elaborately in the beginning of Brahma Sutras. Adhyasa Bhashya. Now, let us give you the word analysis of this sutra. The sutra is Atha Evacham Agnin Dhanadim Anapeksha. That is the sutra. Ataha eva. Ataha eva means therefore only. Agnindhanadi anapeksha cha. There is no dependence on karma. For knowledge to produce moksha, no dependence on karma. Ataha eva. Therefore only. Then you have to connect this to the first sutra of this pada that we saw earlier. The idea conveyed there is what? Knowledge can independently give liberation. Therefore, you don't require to do any karma. That is how we should connect. Knowledge can independently give liberation. Therefore, you don't have to require to do any karma. You take a walking stick only when you cannot stand on your own. In karma kanda, jnanam is weak. And therefore, you take jnanam stick. In jnana kanda, jnanam is strong. And hence, you don't require any stick like karma kanda to support you. So Agni Indanadi Anapeksha, karma. So Agni here refers to fire. Indanam means oblation. And Adi means sisters, etc. So the priest and all of us, they are referred to Adi, etc. So all are used in the context of karma. In the karma, you need all of the fire is required, oblations are required, and the priest and all the other accessories, they are all required. So for karma, they indicate the rituals. And the ritual in which the fire oblations, etc. are used. That is some yajna and all that. Think Ashwamedha yajna we mentioned. Anapeksha means non-requirement of rituals in Brahmajnana. There is no need for rituals in Brahmajnana. So for Shankaracharya, it is very important. And then alone, the doors for sannyasa are open, because he is a great advocate of sannyasa ashrama, Shankaracharya. For sannyasa, this sutra is very, very important. Cha means also. So the non-requirement of karma is a corollary. There is no need for karma to gain moksha. With this, Dvitiya Adhikarana is also over. Now let us go to the next Adhikarana. Sarvapeksha Adhikaranam. This is the sixth Adhikaranam, sixth topic. Sarvapeksha Adhikaranam. It has two sutras, Sutra 26 and 27. Sarvapeksha cha yajnati shrutehe ashvavate. Sarvapeksha cha yajnati shrutehe ashvavate. 26th Sutra, 4th Pada, 3rd Chapter, 451st Running Brahma Sutra. So this sutra says that sacrificial works and the like of those, all those karmas, they are necessary for origination of knowledge of Brahman. First, let us give you the general introduction to this Adhikarana. It is a small Adhikarana and with only two sutras. And it is very often quoted by Adi Shankaracharya. This particular sutra, this Adhikaranam, is quoted often by Shankaracharya in his Bhashyas. And Vyasacharya says, Jnanam depends on all sadhanas. Sarvapeksha, he says, Jnanam depends on all sadhanas. So when we listen to this, what will happen? If you remember the conclusion of the previous Adhikaranam, for those people who don't worry about continuity, no problem at all. If somebody remembers the conclusion that we made in the previous Adhikaranam, it will be a big shock to us. Apparently, Vyasacharya contradicts. Jnanam is dependent on everything, all the sadhanas. And Vyasacharya says, Jnanam is both independent and dependent. He said up to the last sutra, he says, Jnanam is independent. Now he is saying, Jnanam is dependent on everything, all the sadhanas. So this creates confusion. If it is independent, it cannot be dependent. If it is dependent, it cannot be independent. Nothing can be both independent and dependent. This is common sense. We say from one angle, jnanam is dependent, and from another angle, jnanam is independent. When such statements come, we should know only how to analyze them. As we say, Brahman is both independent and dependent. How do we understand Brahman is both independent and dependent? When I give an explanation, you will understand. In one context, Brahman is dependent for what? For Srishti. Depends on what? Maya. So Brahman is dependent on Maya for Srishti. And on another context, we say Brahman is independent. Without Maya, Brahman cannot do anything. Brahman cannot do anything without Maya. It cannot be Srishti, Sthiti, Laya, Karanam. Brahman cannot be Srishti, Sthiti, Laya, Karanam. It has to depend on Maya to do Srishti, Sthiti, Laya. We even say Maya is dependent on Brahman. There is confusion here. Which is correct? We say Brahman is dependent on Maya for Srishti. And we also say Maya is dependent on Brahman. Which is correct? With regard to existence, E capital. With regard to existence, Brahman is absolutely independent. With regard to Kevala Satta, with regard to existence, Brahman is absolutely independent. It does not depend on anything, including Maya. On the other hand, everything, including Maya, is dependent on Brahman with respect to existence. Brahman is independent. Whereas when it comes to functioning, if Brahman is to do any function, the creative function, even desire to do creation, visualization, preservation, and any function, Brahman is not independent. Brahman is dependent on Maya only. So from existence angle, Brahman is independent. And from functional angle, Brahman is dependent. Maya is dependent on Brahman for existence also, for functioning also. So it has twofold dependence. Jnanam is both independent and dependent from two different angles. Jnanam for raising in the mind of the student, for it is not there now. There is no jnanam now for it to rise in the mind of the student. Solid dark ignorance is there in place of jnanam now. Solid dark ignorance is there in place of jnanam now. So for rising jnanam, it depends upon many sadhanas directly and indirectly. So even tragedies some people may go through in life, they are useful for jnanam. It creates vairagyam. Vairagyam will create some interest on Bhagavad Gita perhaps. Arjuna required battle and possible death of Bhishma and Drona for taking Gita lessons from Gitacharya. Jnanam for its function of ajnana nivritti, to remove ajnanam, it is independent. It does not depend on anything. This is the introduction we can give for this adhikara. Now let us see the general analysis of this sutra. Here Vyasacharya points out, Veda itself clearly says jnanam depends upon so many factors for its rise. It needs karma, it needs upasana, it needs ahara niyama, various disciplines. What requires? Jnanam requires. Therefore, here is a famous mantra, Acharya quotes. It is the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad mantra, 4th chapter, 4th section, 2nd mantra. That is Vividisha Stuti. It is called Vividisha Stuti. It's a very nice mantra. We analyze this mantra in detail during Brihadaranyaka discussion. Sava esha mahanaja atma yoyam vijnanamayaha praneshu yeshaha antarhridaya akashaha tasminchete sarvasya vashi sarvasya ishanaha sarvasya adhipatihi sana saduna karmana bhuyan eva asaduna kaniyan esha sarveshwaraha esha bhuta adhipatihi esha bhuta palaha esha setuhu vidharana esham lokanam asambhedhaya tamedam vedanu vachanena brahmana vividishanti yajnena danena tapasa nashakena etameva viditvam munihi bhavati etameva prabrajinaham lokamichantaham prabrajanti etadasmavai tad purva vidvagum saham prajnam prajam nakamayante kim prajaya karishyamo yesham noyamatmayam lokaiti. The vividishanti is the word we are concentrating. The seekers pursue jnanam through all type of sadhanas, like Veda Parayanam, all types of ritual, every charity one has done, the austerities, fasting and all that thing, they all will edge towards moksha. This is very nicely said. All those things, all those sadhanas will edge a person towards going to moksha. So from this we come to know jnanam is sarva peksha. Depends on so many things. Even though jnanam depends upon everything, it is not uniform. Some have got direct connection, some have got indirect connection. For example, Ramanama Japa, that will give liberation means what? You should interpret it properly. If I say jnanam will give you moksha means what? It directly produces jnanam. When we say jnanam will give moksha, it directly produces jnanam. When we say Ramanama will give moksha, what should we understand? Ramanama will prepare the mind to gain jnanam. It doesn't directly give moksha. It prepares the mind to gain jnana. Chitta shuddhi, chitta ekagrata, ekagrata, sravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, all that. So it produces interest in attending the Brahma Sutra classes. In some cases, it is paramparaya jnana sadhanam it is. In some cases, it is sakshat jnana sadhanam. Sakshat means directly gives. It is like using animals for different functions. For example, a horse is not used for plowing, but to draw a chariot. Dog is used for different functions. Karma function is different and Shravanam function is different. Similarly, Jnanam also. Jnanam to remove ignorance does not depend upon any factor at all. Jnanam to remove ignorance does not depend upon any factor at all. This is the general rule, and to any Jnanam this applies. Whatever may be the Jnanam, this applies. It is independent, capable of removing ignorance. Just like a flame removing the darkness without dependent upon any factor, including oil. But the same jnanam if it is to arrive in mind for its utpatti or jnanotpatti, the jnanam requires so many factors. So we say utpattav anya apeksha. That's what we are talking. Utpatta, for the sake of utpatti, for it to rise in the mind. Flame depends upon many factors for its arrival. The dependence alone has gradation. So many ways are there to produce flame. The direct factor is what? Is operation of a matchbox, for example. The operation of a lighter is direct cause of generation of flame. Similarly, the Vedanta Shravanam is direct factor to gain jnanam. Aham Brahmasmi jnanam, one can hear through Vedanta Shravanam. One has to analyze mananam in Vidyasanam, they are next. But the knowledge, Aham Brahmasmi. The oil does not generate flame, but it helps lighter operation to get the light. If we have a lighter, like a matchbox, to light. Fuel becomes the supportive cause for lighter to generate a flame. The supportive cause also is also two types. One is coexisting with the generating cause. All these people, they analyze everything to the last core. Existing with the generating cause, one is oil must exist when I light a matchstick. There is other supportive cause which is not coexisting, which should exist before and not exist at the time of lighting the lamp. One who makes the oil maker, and the container in which the oil is brought, the oil producer need not be there when I light the lamp, but he is required for producing the oil, which is essential for lighting the lamp. The oil container need not exist at the time of lighting the lamp. The direct generating cause, etc., are required for the flame to arise. Pre-existing, coexisting, and direct generating cause should be there for lighting the lamp. In gaining knowledge also, all the three causes are there: pre-existing, coexisting, and direct generation of light. The pre-existing supportive cause is like puja, japa, danam, or visiting all the punyakshetras, all those. They are required to prepare the mind. That is, sadhana chatushtaya sampatti oil is needed. They all try to give you sadhana chatushtaya sampatti. Therefore, karma yoga and upasana yoga, they will bring the oil. They are the pre-existing supportive cause. And once the oil is brought, they all can go away. Then japa, etc., are not compulsory at all. Once a person gains sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, all are not compulsory. One can drop all karmas and take to sannyasa. They are pre-existing supportive causes only. They can be all dropped. And what is the coexisting supportive cause? Sadhana chatushtaya sampatti has to exist even while jnanam is acquired. That is the coexisting supportive cause. So pre-existing cause is all those factors that help me to gain sadhana chatushtaya sampatti. And having gained that, all those pre-existing supportive causes can be removed. But coexisting supportive cause, namely sadhana chastuti sampatti, should exist while jnanam is acquired. So during sravana manana nididhyasanam, sadhana chastuti sampatti is a must. And after jnana nishta, it is not a must. Up to the time you gain jnanam, must. Once a person gains jnana nishta, it is not a must. Then it will go away. You can renounce, but you cannot do that. Sadhana chatushtaya sampatti comes under coexisting supportive cause. And what is the generating cause? None of the above can produce knowledge. Any amount of karma, upasana, vairagya, or anything cannot produce knowledge. Generative cause is what? Guru Shastra Upadesha only. So hope now you know pre-existing supportive cause and coexisting supportive cause. And the generative cause, which is Guru Shastra Upadesha. So the only generating cause is, and one should systematically study Vedanta for a length of time under the guidance of a competent acharya. I mentioned this yesterday also in Vedanta Shravana Manana Nididhyasanam. One should systematically study Vedanta for a length of time, not just like somebody, you know, taking rest for a rain somewhere when some Upanishad talk is going on. No, one should systematically study Vedanta for a length of time under the guidance of a competent acharya. and that is the striking matchstick. All the three support one another. Pre-existing supportive cause, coexisting supportive cause, and the generating cause. So all the three are required for generating knowledge, and the generated knowledge does not depend upon anything to remove ignorance. Friends, Vyasacharya says, wherever dependence comes, it should be used for production and not for phala dana. This explanation is to be done just as one. For example, if a person employs a horse appropriately for pulling a chariot and not for plowing a field, do not get confused in this regard. Use the causes appropriately. When you hear the japa, you should apply the sub-adhikaranam and you interpret it as it indirectly produces moksha as pre-existing supportive cause for moksha. So japa is important, doing the rituals are important, they are all pre-existing supportive cause. Then you use the coexisting supportive cause and generating cause to gain jnana. Do not literally take anything for any matter. Do not think japa will give moksha. And it gives means what? Japa serves as pre-existing supportive cause. It gives mental purity only and nothing more. When mind becomes pure, jnanam comes. This also leads to again confusion. When mind is pure, jnanam comes. This should be interpreted that purity will serve as coexisting supportive cause to gain jnanam. Yeah, these are all loosely said. So we all only need chitta shuddhi. Only mind should be pure. So people say all those statements, but when those statements are said, we have to understand them properly in the context. Then the mind purity means it serves as a coexisting supportive cause to gain jnana. Vishnu Sahasranama will work as pre-existing supportive cause only. I call Vedanta an educational process, and that process alone serves as a generative cause. Like which animal should be employed for a particular benefit should be kept in mind in the case of the above, as we said, pulling a chariot and also plowing a field. That is the thing that it's the sutra says that. Now let us do the word analysis of the sutra. Sarva peksha cha yajnati shrutehe ashvavate. Ashvavate, that is the horse. 26th sutra, 4th pada, 3rd chapter, 451st running Brahma Sutra. Cha means however, moreover. Sarvapeksha, knowledge has dependence on all disciplines. Ashvavade, the disciplines are to be employed appropriately like a horse. If you have a horse, how you are making use of the horse? Yajnadi shrutehe, this is known from shruti, dealing with yajna and all that. Now, yajnadi means yajna and all, etc. Now, we'll see the significance of the words. Sarvapeksha, dependence on all factors. Cha means moreover, however, while there is no dependence with respect to removal of ignorance, but it is dependent for arrival of jnana. While there is no dependence for the removal of ignorance, it is dependent for the arrival of jnana, for jnanam to raise. The Shruti statement that he has in mind is what? Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. 4th chapter, 4th section, 22nd mantra that we just read, Sava Yesha Mahanaja Atma, that mantra. Learning, chanting and repetition of Vedas, that's all meant here. So Brahmachari has, for example, he has no money and he can do japa and parayana. He may not do big yajnas, but he can do japa and parayana. A Brahmachari, yajnana, dhanena, Vedic ritual and charity can be done only by a grahasthashrama. All the grahasthashrama only can do all that. So Brahmachari can do japa parayana and yajnana dhanena, a grahasthashrami can do all types of austerities, leading a simple life without possessing anything. His primary discipline of a vanaprasthashrami. He can do all that thing, following all the austerities, simple life without any possessions. He can do it as a tapas. So Veda says people work for knowledge right from Brahmacharya ashrama. We don't have to think I should become 65, 70 to go to Vedanta classes. They can start right from Brahmacharya ashrama itself. So all ashrama karma, they serve as pre-existing supportive cause. That is before Vedantic study. Then take to sannyasa ashrama and take the generative cause of Vedanta shravana. like the horse. They have to be employed properly. Then actually in Kathopanishad, the first chapter, second section, 15th mantra, that also talks about the same manner. Sarve Vedaha Yad Padam Atma Amananti Tabagamsi Sarvani Chan Yad Vadanti Yadichanto Brahmacharyam Charanti Tate Padagam Sangrahena Brevim. Says the word which all Vedas record, Sarve Vedaha Yad Padam Amananti, which all the tapas, they all proclaim. Amananti Tapagamsi Sarvani Chan Yad Vadanti. They all proclaim, desiring which men live as aspirants. Yadi chanto brahmacharyam charanti. That word I tell you briefly. What is that? It is Om, the pranava. Padam sangrahena brahmi. It is the pranava. Likewise, in intimates, the works, the enjoined on the ashramas. They are means of knowledge. All the work enjoined in the ashrama, they are also means of knowledge. The beauty is what? If Veda says moksha is purushartha, dharma artha, kama, moksha, moksha, purushartha, many people have no value for moksha. So moksha is made a hidden agenda here. The open agenda prescribed is what? Is dharma artha, kama only. Because people always try to look for dharma artha, kama. Get married and enjoy all the pleasures, artha, kama provided by Veda is open agenda. And if you follow artha, kama properly, you indirectly pave your way for moksha. Like the sugar-coated tablets. That is indicated in the Kathopanishad mantra also. Now let us go to the next sutra. Shamadamadyupetaha syat tatapitu tadvidehe tadangataya tadangataya tesham avashyam anushteyatvat. It's a big sutra. And in this sutra, Veda Vyasa is talking about another important discipline upon which knowledge is dependent for arrival. We said two types of supportive causes. What are the two ones? Pre-existing supportive cause and coexisting supportive cause. And one is Bahiranga Sadhana and the other is Antaranga Sadhana. Internal, another is external. So as the word shows, while you study Vedanta, the pre-existing supportive cause you can drop. When you study Vedanta, the pre-existing supportive cause one can drop. But coexisting supportive cause has to be there when Vedanta Shravanam continues. We already mentioned Sadhana Chatushtha Sampatti is the coexisting supportive cause that cannot be dropped. So puja, japa, social service, they all come under this class of pre-existing supportive cause. A person should start with this. And once he has got Sadhana Chatushtha Sampatti, he can continue or drop Karma Yoga. But Satyam, Vada, etc. are coexisting supportive cause which he cannot drop. You must follow this till a person gains Jnana. Therefore, they will come under the Antaranga Sadhanas. And in the previous sutra, Bahiranga Sadhanas, they were mentioned. And here Antaranga Sadhanas are mentioned. And here Vyasacharya says, the pre-existent supportive causes like Karma Yoga, Upasana Yoga and all that, they exist before coming to Vedanta and they may exist in this or in Purva Janma also. One has to be careful. It is not necessary. There may be some lot of people, yoga brashtas. They may have gone through this path and before they achieved the goal, the prarabdha would have ended. And then when they take a rebirth, those vasanas will continue. If it is primed up by some situation, some person or whatever it is, it can come back again. So they may exist in the Purva Janma. So the pre-existing material cause need not be in this Janma and there can be in the previous Janma also. Pre-existing material cause. If a person has gone through the same in Purva Janma, in this Janma he need not go through a Sadhana Chatushtha Sampatti. This is not material cause. He will not have interest in Artha Kama and all. That person by nature, he may not have any interest in Artha Kama. And he will have natural inclination for Vedantic pursuit. This we have seen in the case of Nachiketas. He rejected all the comforts offered as a young boy. He rejected all the comforts offered by Yamadharma Raja. If it were us, perhaps, our action would be, perhaps we don't know. Many of us will say, after all, moksha can wait, but water problem is immediate. Actually, electricity problem. When we did the Kumbhavishekam in Houston, we had problem of electricity. Electricity connection didn't come. We had to put 3 generators. So we lost our electricity then. So water, electricity, they are basic needs perhaps these days. And so water has been basic need all the time. But all these things we will ask for only such. Whereas people like Nachiketas need not go through what they have gone through in the previous ashrama, and they will be ready to gain jnanam right away. Even though as a child, he had the eligibility, he was an adhikari to gain jnanam. Their mind would well receive the atma jnanam instantly. They need not go through the 3 ashramas, upasana, karma, karma yoga, and all that thing. They require maintenance and continuation of art. Of what? Only sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, with which they are born. They will only have to maintain that. The spiritual prodigy has got sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, and they need further refinement, and they can go to the generative knowledge, that is Vedanta Shravanam directly. So this sutra has got 3 portions. The first portion is tathapitu tadvidhehe tadangataya. That is the first part. And the second part is samadhamadi samutpatehe syate. And the third portion is tesham avashya anushteyatvat. These are the 3 portions. These are the 3 portions of this particular this thing. Samadhamatupetaha syate tathapitu tadvidehem tadangataya tesham avasya anushteyatvat. This is the sutra. So we look at it. We are now trying to see it in the 3 portions. The first portion that points out karma yoga, etc., they are not compulsory for all people if they have done that thing in that purva janma itself and they find vairagyam with them. Brahmacharyasya eva sannyasa is alpa, for a person like that, right from brahmacharya ashrama, he can go to sannyasa ashrama. They need not study Purva Mimamsa because they need not do any rituals. If you have to go to Grahastha Ashrama, then a lot of rituals have to be done. For that, they have to see all the karmakanda and all that. For him, it is not needed. They do Bahiranga Sadhana in this birth. With respect to Karma Yoga, there is option. But with respect to Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti, it is not an option. And even spiritual prodigy has to maintain these disciplines. Even though he is a spiritual prodigy, he has to still maintain this discipline, sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, viveka vairagya and all that. He should continue to practice them. They are antaranga sadhanas, and that is coexistent supportive cause. As I mentioned earlier, sadhana chatushtaya sampatti is a coexistent supportive cause. And the third part is Shruti support for this conclusion, Vedic support. Shruti very clearly says that only under one condition it is allowed. Only when you take to sannyasa ashrama. Remaining in grahastha ashrama, you cannot give up the rituals, even if you come to Vedantic study. That is very important. If a person is in grahastha ashrama, even if he comes to Vedantic study, we already told, his duty is to follow the grahastha ashrama dharma. Only in his spare time he can come to Vedanta ashrama. So you can reduce Vedantic rituals, but you cannot give up all these your regular duties. If a person gives up, it is papam. We already told. The total giving up a person can do only if a person becomes a sannyasi. Giving up Vedic rituals is possible only in sannyasa ashrama. Now let us see the Vedic statement that supports this conclusion. This is in the 4th chapter, 4th section, 23rd mantra. It says, Tasma Devam. So this mantra I have quoted earlier also in some other occasion. Tasma Devam Vichanto Dantaham Uparatas Titikshuhu Samahito Bhutvam Atmanyeva Atmanam Pashyati Sarvam Atmanam Pashyati Nainam Papma Tarati Sarvam Papmanam Tarati Nainam Papma Tapati Sarvam Papmanam Tapati Vipapo Virajo Vichikitso Brahmanaha Bhavati Yesha Brahmalokaha Samraditi Hovacha Yajnavalkyaha. This is from Brihadaranyaka 4th chapter. Soham Bhagavate Videhandadami Mam Chapi Sahadasya Yedi. This is what Janaka says to Yajnavalkya, I will give all that. So the essence of the mantra is what? He who knows this, having become calm, subdued, satisfied, patient, and collected, sees the Atma in oneself. These are our conditions. Tasmat shantaha, dantaha, uparataha, titikshu, asamahito bhutva, atmaneva, atmanam pashyati. Sarvatmanam, sarvamatmanam pashyati. So such a person. One should be free from mental strain while doing Vedanta Shravanam. Dhamaha is sensory relaxation. All the 10 indriyas must be withdrawn. Shamaha is mind control, dhamaha is sense control. When ear is functioning to hear Vedas, all other indriyas should stand withdrawn. Ear only should hear. Shravanam must be focused and it should be intent. This is coexistence support class. And withdraw from all other preoccupations. Uparama has several meanings actually. In Shama and Dhamma, mind control and sense control, I withdraw mind and sense organs from all other preoccupations. Uparama is maintenance of the withdrawn condition, at least until Shravanam is over. That is Uparama. I have withdrawn, I should maintain the withdrawal since Shravanam is over. This is important, or else the mind will go to the same field again. Somebody knocks at the door, phone rings. Titikshuhu means what? Putting up with obstacles that come on the way. Titiksha. This may be from health discomfort, knee pain, that pain, this pain, all kinds of things. Excuses will be many, they may be numerous. Any obstacle, I should not give up. Do not give excuses in pursuing Vedantic studies. Normally, we try to immediately give Vedantic study. So I should know what is immediate and what is far ahead. Both of them are important for our concentration of our Vedantic study. Puja, etc., we should not forget long-term focus when we do that. At the time of Shravanam, I should focus on immediate teaching. So puja, upasanas, all that thing, I should have the focus on the long-term. When it comes to Vedanta Shravanam, I should focus on the immediate teaching. Ashtanga Yoga is for purification of mind and prepares it for Atma Jnana. Here we find five are mentioned in Brihadaranyaka. We also talk about Sadhana Chastri Sampati and all that thing. But it has got two versions. One is the, actually this discussion I think we did in some detail in Brihadaranyaka discussion. In the Shukla Yajurveda, in the Kanva Shaka, which is commented by Shankaracharya, there are two shakas in Shukla Yajurveda. One is Kanva Shaka, another is Madhyandana Shaka. Shankaracharya has commented on the Kanva Shaka. The Madhyandana Shaka, which is commented by actually Vidyarana Swamiji, one of the acharyas of Sringeri Matha. So he has commented on that. So both are close to a great extent with a slight modification here and there. So Samadhanam, so Shama, Dhamma, Uparama, Tidiksha, Shraddha, Samadhanam. So the Samadhanam is mentioned in Kanva Shaka. In Madhyandana Shaka, there is another word, Shraddha. So Shraddha is there in Madhyandana Shaka. So when you put both of them together, we take Samadhana from Kanva Shaka and Shraddha from Madhyandana Shaka and make the qualification as six. Shama, Dhamma, Uparama, Tidiksha, Shraddha, Samadhanam. All that. So Jnanam can be purchased with jnana, with money called Shraddha. What is the currency that will work to gain jnanam? Is Shraddha. Shraddha we should have to gain jnanam. Faith, belief are not real translation. When you say Shraddha, you should not say faith or belief. Vedanta, Guru Vedanta Vakyadishu Vishwasaha Shraddha. That is the definition. Whatever the Vedanta Vakya the Guru gives, one should have an a kind of Shraddha in them. It should be unwavering Shraddha. It should be Shraddha. Shraddha means Shraddha only. We cannot translate to anything else like faith, belief, like dharma. Then comes another question. This Brihadaranyakaparishad mantra talks about Shamadhi Shatka Sampatti. So we have Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti and Shamadhi Shatka Sampatti. That Shatka, that's what we say, Shamatamau, Dhamau, Paramati, Diksha, Shraddha and all that. So this is based on the Mundaka Upanishad Vakyam from the first chapter. First chapter, second section, 12th mantra. This is also a popular mantra which I have quoted many times. The mantra says what? Pariksha Lokan, Karma Chitan, Brahmano, Nirveda Mayate, Nasti Akritaha Kritena. Tad Vijnanatam, Sa Gurumeva Abhigachete, Samit Panihim, Shrotriyam, Brahma Nishtam. Such a Guru. who was a Shrotri, who was a student Parampara and Brahmanishta, such a teacher, you go to him, Samit Panihi, having Samit and all that. So from this it is clear, eternal moksha cannot be gained by karma. Eternal moksha cannot be gained by karma. Only jnanam can give moksha. He does not want to depend upon karma and karma pala. And that is called vairagya. Then the Upanishad says, go to Guru for gaining Atma Jnanam. Samit Panihi Guru Meva Abhigachete. Samit Panihi Shrotriyam Brahmanishtam. Going to Guru for Nitya Palam is called Mumukshutvam. Nitya Palam is Mumukshutvam. Moksha. All four will come under Antaranga Sahakari Sadhana. This is general analysis of the sutra. Now let us see the word analysis. Shamadamati Petaham Syatim Tatapitu. Tadvidehe tadangataya tesham avasyam anushtegatvat is the sutra. Tatapitu means even if yajna is taken as optional, tatapitu samadhamadi petaham syate. One should be endowed with shamadhama, etc., mind control, sense control, and all that. Tadvidehe, because they are prescribed, they are vidhi. Tadangataya, as part of the knowledge, angataya. Tesham avasya anushtegatvat. Since they are to be necessarily followed, anushteyam, this is the running name. Now let us see the significance of the words. Shama dhamma means mind discipline and sense organs discipline. Adi means etc. It refers to sadhana. This is this sadhana sadhusha sampatti. And upedataha means endowed with. Syat should be. So one should regularly maintain them. Introspection is a very, very important sadhana for Vedantic student. This we have mentioned many times, introspection of oneself. Nobody will ask you. You have to introspect yourself, every individual. One should compulsorily follow until one gets Shravana Manana Nididhyasana. And can we ignore Jnananishta? You can ignore them because it would have become second nature. Important. Jnananishta means it is second nature. You don't have to strive. It is spontaneous for a person. For the Ajnani, it is sadhana. For a Jnani, it is spontaneous. Siddha. It is because only when it becomes second nature, it is called Jnana Nishtha. Tatapi. Even though a person need not continue the Vedic rituals, they have to be practiced until Antaranga Sadhana is developed. Thereafter, it becomes optional. Only after taking up sannyasa, you can drop them forever. If one is born with sadhana chatushtha sampatti, as I told about Nachiketas, because of Bahiranga sadhanas practiced in past janmas. And in his case, yajnadi sadhanas are not compulsory. All these yajnas and all, he doesn't have to go. From Brahmacharya ashrama, he can jump to sannyasa ashrama directly. He need not follow any one of the sadhanas. Tadvidehe, the first Shruti support, vidhi kept in mind is 4.4.23 of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad Mantra that I just read. And there is another problem also that we face. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad Vakyam, how can a statement be called a vidhi? Is a question posed by the Purvamimamsa. Purvamimamsa always comes round and round. Upanishad Vakyam he takes, and how you can call it a vidhi? It is a statement. Mere statement is not a vidhi, according to him. And Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, there is a statement only. So that is why Purvamimamsa raises the question. And Shankaracharya says, even when there is no vidhi, this argument we have used earlier also. Even when there is no vidhi, if there is a unique teaching in Veda, which cannot be earned by any other pramana, then that statement can be called a vidhi. We have already established somewhere, statement can be called a vidhi if it is apurvatvat, if it is apurvam. And the second argument is that even though Kanva Shaka, there is no vidhi, but in Madhyandana Shaka, there is a vidhi. That it is a vidhi and it is established. Kanva Shaka, both are from the same Veda, Shukla Yajurveda. In Kanva Shaka, it was not given as a vidhi, whereas in Madhyandana Shaka, it is given as a vidhi. Tad Angataya, this qualification is prescribed as part of self-knowledge. For self-knowledge, they are compulsorily required. Sadhana Chashri Sampati and all that. So if your own mind, Atma Jnanam should arise in a mind which has become sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha. This is all required. And the next portion is tesham avashyam anushtayatvat in the sutra.
when Veda gives the injunction, the prescription is applicable to both the primary and the supportive sadhanas. Both are compulsory. Atma darshanam and Atma darshana anga rupena sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, they are all compulsory. We have to take more time for sadhana chatushtaya sampatti only. For understanding Vedanta, we need to attend only a few classes. To know what Aham Brahmasmi and all that thing, Tattvamasi, few classes are adequate. But to gain sadhana chatushtaya sampatti, it can be several janmas. If you take more time, it is not because the study is difficult for the Vedantic study, but because we are not mentally prepared for that. We are not still adhikaris, eligible students. We acquire sadhana chatushtaya sampatti in many janmas. Not in many classes, in many janmas. And not we get in 1 year or whatever it is, one summer course. Many janmas beginning from the past, they have to be compulsorily followed. The Bahiranga Sadhana, I'm going to take a couple of minutes. The Bahiranga Sadhana, they contribute to Vedanta through Adrishtaparam or Punyam. Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampatti does not produce Punyam, but it produces Drishtapalam. Drishtapalam is what? Is one, we can experience any time during Shravanam particularly. 100% concentration is required during Shravanam. Shanti and Samatvam, they are not Adrishtam. It is Drishtapalam. For me to say I am at peace, this is a Drishtapalam. Benefit of teaching, we can continuously experience. Shankaracharya says, this is not only prescribed in Upanishad, but also Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, Sarva karman yapi sada kurvano mad vyapashrayaham mad prasadat avapunoti shashvatam padam avyayam. He said in the 18th chapter, my devotees, my students, though performing all kinds of actions, karmas, they take full refuge in me, they trust in me, and by my grace, they attain the eternal and imperishable abode, Shashvatam Padam Avyayam. And Antaranga Sadhana, is emphasized the 6th chapter. Yadahi Nendriyarteshu na karma sanushrajyate sarva sankalpa sanyasi yoga arudas tadochyate. When a person is neither attached to sense objects nor to actions, such a person is says to be, he is an elevated person in the knowledge of yoga, having renounced all desires for the fruits of actions, karma phala. So with this adhikaranam is also over. Now we will go to the next adhikaranam in the next class. Yo veda dausvara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakriti linasya para samaheshwaraha purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. Shri Krishna Arpanastu.